The question of the day is, where did they all go? From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse, your monthly update on the Virginia feeder cattle markets, the national trends that affect them, and stories of cattle producers from around the Commonwealth. I'm Elijah Griles, and from Appalachia to the Eastern Shore, we're excited to have you tuned in. Hello, and welcome to the March episode of Cattle Pulse. I'm your host, Elijah Griles, and I'm glad to have you tuned in. We've got a lot of interesting and exciting news for you today, but we're going to be talking about a statistic that is sobering, and that is the reduction in the number of cattle farms in the USDA's Census of Agriculture. But before we get to that and other news, let's talk about our weather and climate outlook. The great news for this month is that the drought monitor, which we've updated you on since the beginning of the show, is showing that Virginia is drought free. Now, I know for many of you all in the western part of the state, you're still experiencing some of the long-term effects of last fall's drought, but there's great news that we've received adequate moisture across the state to help ease that, and the drought monitor is currently showing 0% of the state as abnormally dry or with any higher stages of drought. So that's really great news, and the NOAA Climate Prediction Center is showing for March that we are going to have a warm and wet month. The temperature outlook is 33 to 40% chance of above normal temperatures for southwestern Virginia, and a 40 to 50% chance of above normal temperatures for the rest of the state. Precipitation is showing a 40 to 50% chance of above normal precipitation for the eastern part of the state, and 33 to 40% chances of above normal precipitation for the central and northern part of the state. There are, however, equal chances of above or below normal precipitation for the southwestern part of the state. We're going to talk about our national outlook here in a moment, but before we do that, we've got to hit on the numbers. Our March contract is currently trading at $249 a hundredweight, which is up 4.38% from a month ago. Our April contract is currently trading at $253 a hundredweight, which is up 3.7% from a month ago. Our May contract is trading at $256.13 a hundredweight, which is up 2.4%. from a month ago. As we discuss our national outlook, there's a few key factors I want to touch on. The first is cattle on feed. So our USDA report showed that on February 1st, there were 11.79 million head of cattle on feed, which is down 1.18% from the 11.93 million we saw on January 1st. That being said, placements in January were up 5.5% to 1.79 million, and that is higher than the 1.69 million that were placed in December. So what's important about that is we saw that buildup of cattle on feed in the fall of last year, and that's what led to a lot of our severe reduction in prices and what people were seeing at their local stockyard, local auction. And we want to keep our pulse on this because we want to see, are those cattle on feed beginning to work themselves out? And I think that the indications that we're seeing right now is that we're not going to really see that start to work itself out of the system until we get more into the latter half of 2024, and we actually begin to feel some of the pressure that the reduction in inventory is putting on the cattle supply. So we'll keep you updated on that. Another thing I want to note, though, is that heifers on feed make up 40% of the current feedlot inventory, which indicates that there is not any significant retention happening nationwide. Also, we would need to see numbers in the low to mid 30s in order to have retention signals. So there's a strong number of cattle on feed presently, but this is expected to trail off in the second half of the year as supplies continue to diminish. Every winter, the USDA holds their Agricultural Outlook Forum. And I'm going to give you some statistics that I thought were interesting from this year's forum. The first is that they are anticipating an increase in imported cattle, no surprise there, to 2.8 1.05 million in 2024. That said, though, there were 1.98 million head in 2023. So even though we see significant reductions in cattle supplies in the U.S., particularly in our feeder cattle, we're not seeing a huge increase in our import numbers. And this is largely due to tight supplies in key importing partners in Mexico and Canada. They're also anticipating that their five-area fed steer price, so that's going to be a steer that is at slaughter weight, for 2024 is forecast to average a record $180 per hundredweight, which is going to eclipse the record that was set in 2023 of $175.54. Cattle prices are likely going to be supported by tighter supplies of steers and heifers in feedlots, which we've been anticipating given our reduction in inventory as the year progresses, and continued firm packer demand. They also anticipate that feeder cattle prices are likely to eclipse 2023's record prices, as feedlots will have to bid for tighter cattle supplies. So reduction in supply, increased demand, going to continue to drive up prices. They're also anticipating that improved pasture conditions may result in increased competition for lighter weight cattle, which would increase cost for stocker operations. So I know some of you out there who are listening are backgrounders or stockers, and that could influence you. So that's something that we definitely want to make you aware of and something to keep in mind as you're preparing for the summer grazing season. Feeder steer prices for 750 to 800 pound calves, the USDA anticipates, will be averaging $248.50 per hundred weight, which is compared to $218.69 in 2023. 14% increase. They also noted that cash receipts from cattle and calves are actually expected to decrease by $1.6 billion, or 1.6%, as falling quantities sold should outpace growth in prices. And I want to pause us here for a moment. There's a lot of optimism across cow-calf operations in the state over the extremely high prices that we're seeing and that we're anticipating to continue as we move into the rest of the year. But it's important to remember that these tight cattle supplies increase cost really across the board. And just like inflation increased the cost of fertilizer and fuel and labor and things like that, it's kind of the same thing. The tighter cattle supplies are certainly increasing some of the revenues for our cow-calf operators, but they're also just making a higher amount of cash required to make an operation cash flow further down the supply chain. The other thing that's important to remember is that this is ultimately going to influence the consumer. And so I wanted to note that the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates showed that beef consumption per capita in 2024 is likely to fall to 56 pounds per person, which is going to be down 57.9 pounds from the year prior. And that is something very important for us to keep our eye on, because if we don't have consumers who are choosing the end product of our farm, then obviously that's going to ultimately affect prices. So times are good on the cow-calf side right now. It's going to increase competition on the stocker side, though, because lighter weight cattle are getting more expensive. And so it's more expensive to try to put those extra pounds on grass. And it's going to begin influencing consumer demand. We have enjoyed relatively high consumer demand because chicken and pork have stayed relatively expensive as well. So there's not as many consumers kind of substituting for beef. Also, a kind of positive effect of the COVID-19 pandemic is that a lot of consumers got used to grilling and cooking food at home, and beef is kind of this high quality, top of the line meat that they want to put in dishes. And so they have continued that trend even coming out of the pandemic. But it is important to remember that the tight cattle supplies can have negative effects. And we'll talk a little bit more about a different kind of negative effect here in a few minutes. But first, let's do our Virginia feeder cattle auction numbers. Abingdon Tri-State came in at $267.86 a hundredweight, which is up 6.28% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $278.20 a hundredweight, which is up 14.64%. from a month ago. Lynchburg rang the bell at $280.51 a hundredweight, up 12.37% from a month ago. And Radiant came in at $282.38 a hundredweight, which is up 9.8%. Shenandoah Valley was at $285.68 a hundredweight, which is up 9.88%. And Winchester came in at $285.58 a hundredweight, posting a gain of 13.68% from a month ago. That gives us a 6-market average of $280.03 a hundredweight, which is up 11.1%. This is very exciting news, and it's great for our cow-calf folks who are seeing extremely high returns at these feeder cattle auctions. One interesting thing is that this is really a seasonal trend. We saw a 15% gain in January. We've seen an 11.1% gain moving into February, but this is what we would expect. Now, these are very high prices, and that's certainly good news for those of you all who have been selling in the last couple months, but it is following a seasonal pattern of these 5-weight steers that tend to do well in February and maybe even into March. We just have to remember that our risk management principles still apply. Just because prices are high now doesn't mean that they're going to stay high. And we're continuing to see strength in those feeder cattle futures as well, but it's tempered with some realities of our packers making money, our feedlots making money, our consumers demanding the product, and are they going to continue to pay the high prices that they have? All that is to say, not to be Johnny Raincloud or rain on the parade, but it is just important to remember that this is a seasonal trend, and we can reasonably expect prices to begin to taper off as we move throughout the spring and into the summer months. That doesn't necessarily mean this will happen. There's a lot of optimism in the market, and these supplies are very tight, exceptionally tight, as we talked about in last month's show. So we may see a counter-seasonal trend of continued high prices, but it's not really going to be until we get into March and April to see how these markets are behaving, because seeing the gains that we've seen in January and February are sort of anticipated with seasonal trends across these markets for these types of animals. To close out today's episode, we want to talk about a very sobering statistic. And that's why we began the episode with the question of, where did they all go? And that is, where did over 3,000 of the state's beef cattle operations go? The USDA Census of Agriculture showed that in 2017, there were estimated to be 18,453 farms with beef cattle. And now there are only 15,340 farms, a reduction of 17% in just 5 years. We've also seen a reduction in the number of beef cattle in Virginia from 2017 to 2024. In 2017, there were 643,000 beef cows, and in 2024, there were 574,000 beef cows. What's important to note about that, though, is that cattle inventory tends to follow those contractionary and expansionary phases of the cattle cycle. So we anticipate there to be increases and reductions in the size of the Virginia cattle herd. But losing over 3,000 farms begs some questions of which farms are going out of operation and what could be potential causes of this. The first thing to note is that of those operations that were lost in that 5-year time span, farms with less than 50 head fared the worst. They showed losses of 20 to 26% in the categories of 1 to 9 head, 10 to 19, and 20 to 49. Now, once you get over that 49 head size into some of your larger categories like 50 to 100, 100 to 200, the losses are substantially reduced. So it's more in the 3 to 4, 6% range for some of those categories. Another interesting thing to note is that the only category that showed an increase was the over 2,500 head category, in which there were no operations in 2017, and in 2022, there was one operation with more than 2,500 head. Now, what's important about this is that these smaller operations are typically attributed to being lost to aging farmers who do not have a transition plan. Small operations that cannot continue because there's simply no one willing to manage the land and the cattle. So oftentimes those cattle get sold and they get acquired by larger farms or other neighboring farms. Another potential explanation is that high prices are leading people to exit the industry. However, in that 2017 to 2022 span, we did not experience the same level of high prices that we are seeing now. And so there's some questionability to whether or not it was just people selling out because it was a good time to get out of the business. But this is where I want to say, we want to hear from you. Do you know someone who's exited the cattle business? And if so, why did they have to get out? We've covered a lot in today's show. Certainly excited to have you along for the ride and hope that we have been a benefit to your ride, whether on the tractor or the truck or the side-by-side somewhere out there on the farm. Thank you so much for joining us on Cattle Pulse. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Elijah Griles. Until next month, take care.